It's Thursday, the 6th of November, and you're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader in Flagstaff, Chuck Kaufman, bringing you these headlines from the WilliamsNews.com website, News of Williams and the Grand Canyon. First, Williams School District, WEMS, gets A rating. Tucson Town Council appoints Greg Clifton interim town manager, and Halloween Craft Show features regional artisans. Turning to that first headline, Williams School District, WEMS, gets A rating. This article is by Calvin Shoemaker from the 4th of November. The Arizona Department of Education has awarded the Williams Unified School District with an A rating based on recent data from the 2024-25 school year. Mandated by state and federal law, Arizona's A through F letter grade system given to schools and districts is determined by state test results, English learner scores, attendance, special education metrics, graduation rates, and progress to graduation. An A rating reflects the state's top designation based on student growth and overall academic performance that is significantly higher than state average. The Arizona State Board of Education also gave Williams Elementary Middle School an A rating, while Williams High School was awarded a B. Compared to a year ago, WEMS improved by 2 letter grades and Williams Unified School District improved by 1. This incredible achievement reflects the hard work, dedication, commitment, and collaboration of our students, teachers, staff, families, and community partners, Superintendent Eric Evans said in a press release. Together, we've built a sustained culture of growth and excellence that ensures every student has the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive. Williams School Board President Steve Ault called the grades an amazing improvement in a short time. Everyone in the district should get a big pat on the back, Ault said. The improvement also garnered recognition from Coconino County Superintendent of Schools Cheryl Mango Page. As County Superintendent of Schools, I want to personally commend you for your dedication to quality education and for continuing to raise the bar for what's possible in our rural communities, Mango Page said. Your efforts are truly making a difference. And that's Williams School District. WEMS gets A rating. Next, we have Tucson Town Council appoints Greg Clifton interim town manager. This by Calvin Shoemaker from the 4th of November. The Tucson Town Council appointed former Flagstaff City Manager Greg Clifton to be the town's interim manager in October. Clifton officially transitioned from Flagstaff to Tucson on November the 3rd, replacing former town manager Charlie Hendricks, who served in the role for more than 5 years, leaving the town under amicable circumstances. In July, Clifton announced his intent to retire after serving as Flagstaff City Manager since August 2019. He wrapped up his time in Flagstaff at the end of October and said that the quick transition into his new role wasn't quite the plan, though his intention was to ease into retirement by serving in interim roles. Clifton said the opportunity in Tucson worked out on many levels, given its proximity to Flagstaff and his familiarity with the town. Prior to joining Flagstaff, Clifton amassed 25 years of executive municipal experience, including 10 years as town manager in Colorado for Ridgeway, Telluride, and Vail. It's so gratifying and fulfilling for me to continue with community service in some capacity, Clifton said. I'm not one of those who can retire and shut everything off on day one. Clifton joins Tucson at a pivotal moment in its history. Like many gateway communities of Grand Canyon National Park, the town saw a significant decline in visitation this summer due to the White Sage Fire and Dragon Bravo Fire to the north, fires that did not directly impact operations on the South Rim. Hendricks said the town did see an uptick in visitation in October, likely due to the absence of park entry fees resulting from the federal government shutdown. According to Hendricks, the town had a solid fiscal year in 2024-25, which ended June the 30th. On July 4th, the fire started on the North Rim, closing that part of the park and parts of the Inner Canyon, leading to a misconception that the park was closed entirely. Hendricks said the economic data from August and September was not encouraging, but said it's still too soon to know what the full economic impact of the summer's fires will be. While economic concerns loom, positive things are happening in Tucson. The town is working with numerous stakeholders and the Coconino County Flood Control District on a drainage master plan that will aid with flood mitigation. The town was presented with a favored plan of action in October and is expected to officially move forward with the plan this month. The council also recently approved preliminary drawings for the construction of a new town hall in the heart of town on Highway 64. Clifton said he'll look to keep a sense of stability within the town's government as it searches for its new manager, a recruitment and selection process that could take months. And that's Tucson Town Council appoints Greg Clifton interim town manager. Next, we have Halloween Craft Show features regional artisans. This is by Calvin Shoemaker, again from the 4th of November. The world-famous Sultana Bar and Theater hosted a vendor market on Halloween benefiting the Williams Youth Football and Cheer League. Artists and crafters from around the area set up shop in the old theater offering Halloween-themed goodies and an opportunity to get a head start on holiday shopping. Among the vendors present were Nicole and David Johnson, who started their woodworking business, Cedar Mountain Concepts, this summer. David, a 2005 graduate of Williams High, does chainsaw carvings and makes whirligigs, walking sticks, and other unique artwork out of wood. Since launching the business in June, the couple says business has been good. The Halloween Craft Show was organized by Connie Moore Duff, who's been putting on craft fairs in Williams for 7 years now, raising thousands of dollars for local community causes like youth activities, veterans organizations, and humane associations. The annual Christmas Craft Show is scheduled for Saturday, December the 20th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Sultana and will benefit Route 66 Jiu-Jitsu. And that's Halloween Craft Show features regional artisans. Next, we have another article by Calvin Shoemaker from the 4th. Vikings advance to state semifinals with win over St. David. The Williams Vikings are one win away from the 1A eight-man football state title game. The sixth-seeded Vikings travel to St. David, 7-3, on Halloween and upset the third seed by a score of 58-40. Williams will now face the number 2 Baghdad, who are 7-2, on Saturday, November the 8th, in semifinals. The game is scheduled for 6 p.m. and will be played at the Coronado High School in Scottsdale at 7501 East Virginia Avenue. In their regular season meeting on September 1st, Baghdad defeated Williams 62-26. Williams quarterback Jack Dent had a huge game in the quarterfinals, throwing for 433 yards and 7 touchdowns. Kyle Mendoza caught 11 passes for 196 yards and 6 touchdowns. Josh Rue Wilbur had 5 catches for 164 yards and a touchdown. Running back Mario Pedraza tallied 86 yards on the ground and 1 touchdown. Baghdad enters Saturday's matchup undefeated at 9-0 with 2 wins coming from forfeit. In the other semifinal game at Coronado High, number 1 Hayden, they're 9-0, will face number 4 Mogollon, they're 8-2, at 6 p.m. Friday, November the 7th. The state championship game will also be played at Coronado High School at 6 p.m. on Saturday, November the 15th. Coming into this season, Williams had lost in the first round of the playoffs each of the previous 2 years. The Vikings now look to add to the success of Coach Jeff Brownlee era that has already secured 2 state titles. Williams, now 7-4, defeated San Manuel 50-6 in the first round. And that's Vikings advance to state semifinals with win over St. David. Next, we have Williams Senior Center, a drop-off location in County Food Drive. This from the 4th of November. Due to the federal government shutdown, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, benefits ended for over 8,000 families in Coconino County November the 1st. As a result, food pantries expect to see a rise in demand, so Coconino County has sponsored a community food drive now through November the 7th. The public is asked to help by donating items such as shelf-stable foods like canned, jarred sauces and meats, canned fruits and vegetables, soups, dried pasta, rice and grains, boxed meals, peanut butter, cereal, and grocery store gift cards. Items can be dropped off on weekdays at the following locations through Friday, November the 7th. The Coconino County Health and Human Services at 2625 North King Street, Flagstaff. That's from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. The Coconino County Administration Building at 219 Cherry Street, Flagstaff, again from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. The Williams Senior Center at 850 West Grant Avenue in Williams from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. The Coconino County Health and Human Services at 467 Vista Avenue in Page. That's from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Coconino County is also supporting Stuff the Bus at the Plaza Way and Cedar Avenue Safeway stores in Flagstaff from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. this weekend, November 8th and 9th, where shoppers are encouraged to donate turkeys and other holiday-related items. The event is a joint effort between the City of Flagstaff, Mountain Line, and Flagstaff Family Food Center. On October the 29th, Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs announced the state has allocated $1.8 million to support families in need of food assistance. The governor's office says $1.5 million will be allocated to food banks across the state. If you want to learn more, you can visit coconino.az.gov/3514/2025-federal-government-shutdown. And that's Williams Senior Center, a drop-off location in County Food Drive. You're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Northland Views and other Sun Sounds of Arizona productions streaming on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or by going to the Sun Sounds of Arizona app. And that's available for your iPhone or iPad from the Apple App Store or for your Android phone or tablet from the Google Play Store. And you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona as it streams on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show. Photos. WGCN hosts first Halloween costume contest. The Williams Grand Canyon News hosted its first ever Halloween costume contest this year, and the community response exceeded expectations. Participants of all ages donned creative costumes from classy, spooky characters to pop culture icons. Big thank you to everyone who participated in the debut contest and helped make this event a success. The enthusiastic response suggests the Halloween costume contest could become an annual tradition for WGCN. Winners will be announced November 12th. They do have more photos on their website or on their e-edition. And that's photos. WGCN hosts first Halloween costume contest. Next, we have Christmas boxes to be sent from Williams to active military members. This from the 4th of November. Christmas boxes will be sent from Williams to places all around the world again this year, wishing active duty service members a happy holiday. Williams community members who know of any service members with a connection to Williams or whose relative is in the military are asked to submit their names and addresses by Monday, the 10th of November. Boxes will be packed on Wednesday, December 3rd at 1 p.m. at Community United Methodist Church located at 2nd Street and Sherman Avenue. Any and all community support is welcome, to include help supplying items for the boxes, help with packing the boxes, and assisting with the cost of postage. To submit a military member's name and address or to help out, contact Ruth Williams at 386-679-3910. That's Christmas boxes to be sent from Williams to active military members. Next, we have Grand Canyon National Park increases water and fire restrictions. This from the 4th of November. Grand Canyon National Park implemented Stage 3 water restrictions and Stage 2 fire restrictions on October the 31st in response to limited water availability and construction activities associated with the ongoing Trans Canyon Waterline Replacement Project. A temporary interruption in water pumping is scheduled for November 4th, through approximately November 18th, to allow crews to replace and test a critical pipeline segment. The work is part of a multi-year effort to modernize the park's aging water delivery system, expected to be completed in 2027. Stage 3 water. Operational changes include camper services at Mather Campground closed, water spigots at Mather Campground turned off, restrooms at Mather Campground remain open, Mather Campground RV dump and water stations remain open, park concessionaires and partners continuing water reduction protocols. Visitors, residents, and park staff are asked to practice strict water conservation measures. Inner Canyon water availability timeline, November 4th to approximately November 18th. Due to the interruption in water pumping and scheduled winterization, no new water will be transported into the Inner Canyon or South Rim. Water will be available at Phantom Ranch, the center spigot near the canteen, and Havasupai Gardens. Water will not be available at Bright Angel Campground, the Delta Restroom, Boat Beach, and the 1.5 mile and 3 mile rest houses, which have been winterized for the season. Backcountry users are encouraged to carry reliable water treatment methods and plan conservatively. Stage 2 fire. Fire restrictions are directly tied to water availability due to the need for fire suppression resources. Stage 2 fire restrictions went into effect October the 31st across the South Rim, North Rim, and Inner Canyon. Stage 2 fire restrictions prohibit the following: all wood burning and charcoal fires, including campfires, warming fires, and charcoal barbecues, the use of liquid petroleum or LPG fuel devices that can be turned on and off are allowed. Outdoor smoking, except within an enclosed vehicle or while stopped in an area at least 3 feet in diameter that is barren or cleared of any flammable material. Using explosives or any incendiary device. Fireworks are always prohibited on public lands. Again, restrictions prohibit operating or using any internal combustion engines, such as chainsaws, wood splitters, and weed eaters. Parking off any road must be in an area that's barren or cleared of all overhead and surrounding flammable materials within 3 feet of the vehicle. These restrictions will remain in effect until significant precipitation falls and fire danger levels subside. Visitors should recreate responsibly and use extra caution while recreating on public lands when fire danger is increased. This information was provided by the National Park Service. Grand Canyon National Park increases water and fire restrictions. Next, also from the 4th of November, Phantom Ranch, Bright Angel Campground now open. Phantom Ranch and Bright Angel Campground reopened to visitors November the 1st, restoring access to key Inner Canyon destinations following earlier closures caused by the Dragon Bravo fire, trail stabilization efforts, and ongoing infrastructure work. In addition to overnight access, the Phantom Ranch area and the lower section of the South Kaibab Trail from tip-off to Phantom Ranch also reopened to day use. Remaining closed, River Trail from River Rest House to the South Kaibab Trail Junction, including the Silver Bridge, through December the 31st. North Kaibab Trail north of the Clear Creek Trail Junction. Water availability limited. A temporary interruption in water pumping operations began November 4th as part of the Trans Canyon Waterline Replacement Project. The interruption is through approximately November 18th and will prevent new water from being transported into Phantom Ranch. Drinking water will remain available at key locations in the Inner Canyon, including Phantom Ranch, the center spigot near the canteen, Havasupai Gardens. Water will not be available at Bright Angel Campground, the Delta Restroom and Boat Beach, the 1.5-mile and 3-mile rest houses. They're winterized for the season and will be turned back on in spring of 2026. Water availability may vary by location, so visitors should always plan accordingly. Backcountry users are strongly encouraged to carry sufficient water, bring reliable water treatment methods, and check the latest conditions before beginning any Inner Canyon travel. Infrastructure work continues. The temporary interruption in water pumping is part of a scheduled phase of the Trans Canyon Waterline Replacement Project, which involves replacing and testing a key pipeline segment. This phase is expected to conclude around April 18th, after which water transport operations will resume. The larger Trans Canyon Waterline Replacement Project is a multi-year infrastructure effort to modernize the park's aging water delivery system and is anticipated to continue through 2027. Although access to Phantom Ranch and Bright Angel Campground is resuming, visitors should expect ongoing operational impacts during this construction period. This information provided by the National Park Service, Phantom Ranch, Bright Angel Campground, now open. Next, we have Tusayan hosts 7th Grand Canyon Trail Half Marathon First Marathon. This by Calvin Shoemaker, and this is from the 28th of October. Hundreds of runners were in Tusayan October the 25th for the 7th annual Grand Canyon Trail Race. For the first time, the 5K and half marathon put on by Run Tucson in partnership with the town of Tusayan offered a marathon option. The route took runners on a loop through the Kaibab National Forest and Baj Nuevo Itay Kukveni, ancestral footprints of the Grand Canyon National Monument. Tusayan Town Manager Charlie Hendricks called the annual event special because it uniquely showcases the town's natural environment. "We are a naturalistic town," Hendricks said. "We really focus on our sustainability and our naturalistic efforts. This race really fits with that. People can run through the forest, they can run up to the national park boundary and really experience the park, the national forest, and the national monument firsthand. Not only does the race provide runners with an iconic setting, it helps boost the local economy and supports community organizations like the Tusayan Fire District and Grand Canyon Food Pantry, which each benefit from the event with direct donations. The race is held in conjunction with the Tusayan Fire District's annual Pancake Breakfast Fundraiser and Beer Garden held at the Grand Canyon IMAX Theater at the finish line. Race director Randy Aceta of Run Tucson said the event is also an effort to extend the shoulder season for tourism in Tucson and Williams as winter approaches. It's designed to be a community event to help promote tourism in this part of northern Arizona, Aceta said. Nearly 600 runners signed up for the run, which attracted participants from around the country and even internationally. Lacey Vander Torn, 36, of Alberta, Canada, was the first female finisher in the inaugural Grand Canyon Trail Marathon with a time of 4 hours, 10 minutes. Gary Kruger, 40, of Chama, New Mexico, took first overall in the marathon with a time of 3 hours, 32 minutes. Andrew Ditchie, 32, of Phoenix, won the half marathon in 1 hour and 43 minutes. Kristen Uradzianik, 29, of Gilbert, finished 10 minutes later as the first female. Hei Sun, 43, of Seattle, took the 5K in under 21 minutes. Kylie Chase, 21, of Gilbert, was second with a time of 23 minutes, 30 seconds. According to ASETA, Run Tucson puts on 9 events in southern Arizona each year, promoting community wellness and health. We try to make life better through running, ASETA said. For more, you can visit Run Tucson, runtucson.net. And that's Tucson Hosts 7th Grand Canyon Trail Half Marathon, First Marathon. And finally, we have this item from the 4th, free entry for tribal members this month at Museum of Northern Arizona. The Museum of Northern Arizona is offering free admission to all Native American tribal members throughout November in celebration of Native American Heritage Month. This donor-funded initiative recognizes the profound contributions Indigenous peoples of the Colorado Plateau have made to the Museum of Northern Arizona since its founding in 1928, said Mary Kershaw, the museum's executive director. Their perspectives, knowledge, and artistry are woven into the very fabric of this institution. The museum's permanent collections feature extensive holdings of Native American art, archaeology, and ethnography from the Colorado Plateau region. Its Native Peoples of the Colorado Plateau gallery contains objects from the collections and was created in partnership with and dedicated to the Acoma, Dizzy, Apache, Diné, Navajo, Havasupai, Hopi, Hualapai, Southern Paiute, North Southern Ute, Yavapai, and Zuni people. Other exhibitions, research, and programs further celebrate Indigenous art and explore the deep connections between Native cultures and the landscapes of the plateau. And that's all the time that we have for free entry for tribal members this month at Museum of Northern Arizona. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. I'd like to thank you for joining me for this week's edition of Northland Views, the news of Williams and the Grand Canyon. Remember, Northland Views is available not only on sunsounds.org, the Sun Sounds website, but also on the Sun Sounds app and your Amazon Dot or Echo.